As we pull together the first 5 days of our look at love and social conscience, this Power Friday, let's look back on our discussion of true love and justice. Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr.
He made this world for us to live in. He made this world and gave us everything.
Lord, gave us everything.
And all he asks of us is we give each other love.
That's what he's asking of us still.
Don't go and talk about my father.
No, no, no.
'Cause God is my friend.
Jesus is my friend.
Loves us whether or not we know it, and he'll forgive all our
he'll
sins,
forgive our sins.
Oh, yeah. And all he asks of us, oh yeah, is we give each other love. Oh yeah, love your mother,
she bore you.
Love your father,
it worked for you.
Love your sister,
she's good to you.
Love your brother,
love
your brother. God is my friend.
Jesus is
yes,
my friend.
And when we call on him for mercy,
Father,
he'll be merciful, oh, my friend. Oh, yeah,
yes, he will.
All he asks of us, I know.
Wow. A great God who made this world, put so much good in it. He loves us, and that's why he did it. And all he asks of us is that we love one another and do what we can to bring about peace for each other.
And gave us everything.
Lord, gave us everything.
And all he asks of us is we give each other love. Oh, yeah.
I had Mr. Gay start this out for us because I really want the power of those words and the power of that music to really help us put ourselves in a mindset, in a place mentally, emotionally, spiritually, where we really do care about God and what he cares about. Justice is what we're focusing on. And particularly the connection between true love and justice. Our God and Jesus, your friend. When we call on him for mercy, he will be merciful and forgive all of our sins. He just wants us is to love one another and to give each other love, love, love. Justice. How does Webster define it? I mentioned earlier in the week, in fact, on Thursday, that you may be surprised at what at least part of one of the secular definitions has for the word justice. And I mentioned that we would talk about this from a secular standpoint, but also a biblical perspective, primarily the biblical perspective. And I pointed out that you may be a little surprised when you hear a secular definition of the word justice. Listen to this. The quality of being just. Okay, that goes without saying, since justice is a form of the word just. The quality of being just. And of course, just has to do with that which is proper or right. But listen to this. Justice. The quality of being just. Righteousness, equitableness, or moral rightness. I'm giving you the number one definition of the word justice as given in Webster's dictionary. The quality of being just. Righteousness, equitableness, or moral rightness. Now, these are the qualities that we have in mind. These are the characteristics that we have in mind when we hear the word justice. There's more to it than just the letters J-U-S-T-I-C-E. Justice, righteousness, equitableness, or moral rightness. When we hear about income inequality, remember what I've shared with you before. No situation creates itself. We humans create the situations that we find ourselves in. And I'm saying, you know, I know that there are some natural disasters for which we may have no connection whatsoever. There may be some beautiful, beautiful days of just awesome, awesome, beautiful blue-colored skies with beautiful white contrasting clouds, nice, beautiful, bright, sunshiny days, and we may have nothing to do with that. But there are a lot of situations that we find ourselves in that we have created, or whether we have done it directly or indirectly. For example, when it comes to income inequality, there are many, many people who contribute directly to income inequality by going to politicians and letting them know, we want you to make it legal for us to funnel most of the money that comes to our companies to those of us who sit at the top of these companies. And we want very, very little to go to those in the middle, and even less to those at the bottom of our companies. We want you to make that legal, pass laws that make it legal for us to do that. And so they directly contribute to income inequality. But there are many, many more people who indirectly contribute to income inequality by making sure that they support the politicians who will listen and comply gladly when people approach them and say, we want you to pass laws making it legal for us to channel most of the money to those of us at the top of the corporate ladder, much less of it to the middle, and even less than that to those at the bottom. The trickle-down theory of economics that so many love because it creates the situation that we have been in for decades, and that is now exacerbated in this year, this decade. Justice. Righteousness, equitableness, or moral rightness. And so often we have so many people, I'm talking about we the people, constituents now, who are so focused on trying to make life miserable as possible for those people that they're perfectly willing to cause life to become, at the very least, very uncomfortable for them as well. If that's what they have to do their part, to make life miserable for those other people. Interesting that a secular dictionary would have as a primary definition of the word justice, righteousness, equitableness. We know that justice also has to do with punishment. And so it is also, of course, a moral principle determining just conduct, conformity to this principle as manifested in conduct, just conduct or just dealing or just treatment, the administering of deserved punishment or reward. The administering of deserved punishment or the administering of deserved reward. Justice. Do most people really, really embrace justice? Now think about this. We're not just talking about the leaders, whether we're talking about religious leaders, business leaders, political leaders. I definitely want us to think about them, but also want us to think strong about the people who are at the bottom of the corporate ladder or in the middle of the corporate ladder. Those levels, of course, we pretty much know how a lot of the people at the top corporate levels are going to view this. They're going to want as much as they can for themselves. What about the people in the middle, and what about the people in the bottom levels? Where are they? Truth be told, some of them are saying, hey, look, this needs to be done in a way that is fair to everyone, and they look for ways to make it fair to everyone. Then you have others who say, hey, this needs to be fair to us. And they look for ways to make it fair to themselves while making it unfair to others, those other people. And again, their brains and their hearts, their minds become so fixated on trying to make it miserable for them, for those other people, they literally can't see that their decisions keep adding misery to them. They keep doing themselves injustice in their persistent attempts, efforts, and successful attempts and efforts to be unjust towards those people. Holman's Bible Dictionary on justice. They say that justice is the order that God seeks to reestablish in his creation, where all people receive the benefits of life with him. Very often when we think about justice, we often think first and foremost about punishment. Again, making life uncomfortable, even miserable for someone else. But punishment is not the main idea on God's mind when he thinks about justice. He does think about punishment, but that's not the primary thought on his mind. That is not the primary goal in his heart. He seeks to reestablish an order where all people receive the benefits of life with him. As love is for the New Testament, so justice is the central ethical idea of the Old Testament. Now again, if you're thinking, whoa, hold up now. God was constantly talking about punishment in the Old Testament. He did talk about punishment. Now, that's a reality. Whether we're talking about people like Korah and the 249 others, 250 others who sided with Korah and speaking out against Moses, and God punished them by opening up the earth and causing the earth to swallow them up alive. Or whether we're talking about the prophetess, Miriam, Moses' sister, having instigated some ugly words against her brother Moses, whom God had chosen as leader of Israel, and God striking her for a period of time with leprosy. Or whether we're talking about an entire nation of people who keep disobeying God, keep being haughty and arrogant, proud and rebellious, refusing to do what God commands them to do, and God sends another nation stronger than them to spank them real good. Yes, punishment was part of it, but again, that was not the central focus. The frequency of justice is sometimes missed by a lot of people due to a failure to realize the wide range of the Hebrew word mishpat, particularly in passages that deal with the material and social necessities of life. So notice this. Justice has two major aspects. First, it's the standard by which penalties are assigned for breaking the obligations of the society. Secondly, justice is the standard by which the advantages of social life are handed out, including material goods, rights of participation, opportunities, and liberties. It is the standard. Justice is the standard for both punishment and benefits, and as a result, it can be spoken of as a plumb line. God spoke of it that way in Isaiah 28 and 17, where he says I shall use justice as a plumb line and righteousness as a plummet. I want you to remember something that I've shared with you a number of times in the past, and please keep it in mind now as we look at true love and justice. Justice and righteousness are often found together in Scripture. The two words, God often pairs them up. I'm not saying always, but often. I mean the two specific words. Sometimes the word justice and the concept, the principle of righteousness is there, although the specific word righteousness may not be there. But most of the time, the two words, justice and righteousness, are paired together. Just like in this scripture, I shall use justice as a plumb line and righteousness as a plummet. Often people think of justice in the Bible only in that first sense that I shared it with you, as God's wrath, his anger, his punishment on people for doing evil. That's an aspect of justice that is indeed present, such as the judgment mentioned in even John 3 and 19. In fact, isn't it interesting that where God talks about the tremendous love that he has for the world, and I mean tremendous in that he sent his only begotten son, he also, in that context, talks about justice. Listen to this. And punishment. 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, which means to be eternally destroyed, but have eternal life. Now let's keep reading. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Let's keep reading. Verse 18. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. One and only Son, and some translations will say only begotten Son. And of course, we know that God has many sons now, because so many have submitted our lives to Christ Jesus. But he is referring to here Jesus as the only begotten Son, the only person who came directly from God. This is the verdict, verse 19 says. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. All right. True love and justice. Can we truly love but be opposed to justice? More vivid words, I just shared with you that aspect of judgment, but they point out that more vivid words like wrath are used to describe punitive justice. And you can find that in Romans 1 and 18. But listen to this. This is where I want us to go. Justice in the Bible very frequently also deals with benefits. Cultures differ widely in determining the basis by which the benefits are to be justly distributed. For some, Some cultures determine that benefits are to be distributed by birth and nobility. For other cultures, the basis might be might or ability or merit. Or it might simply be whatever is the law or whatever has been established by contracts. The Bible takes another possibility with regards to the distribution of benefits. Benefits are distributed according to need. Justice, then, is very close to love and grace. And again, I want to ask you, how are we doing when it comes to truly loving? Truly loving the way God tells us to love. One of the ways for us to answer that question is by honestly answering how we value and embrace justice.
And gave us everything.
God gave us everything.
And all he asks of us is we give each other love.